Pray in that. It's important for all of us when a prayer is being given to grab a hold of what's being said. You know, I want, that's what I, yes, Lord. You know, when you say amen, that means so be it, right? So be it. When you're doing that, if you're doing it in a real kind of way, not just a rote amen or whatever, or just listening but not really grabbing a hold of something, when you and I are doing that, there's something more that happens inside of us. You understand that? When you hear something and you want it, you grab a hold of it in your heart and in your mind, it makes a difference than just letting it pass over you. Being passive about the words. Words have such tremendous power. Don't they?
Yes.
The words frame our thoughts, and our thoughts produce decisions and actions that really make a difference. It turns the direction of our life. Right? And we're all important to God, and I hope that you really understand that. And last week's, I think it was last week's message about the plans. Was that last week? The week before that was about the plans. You know, God has a plan that He started from the beginning. And we've already grabbed a hold of one of the beginning of that plan, and that was this plan of salvation, right?
Yes.
That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? Whosoever believes in Him is not going to perish, not going to a place of darkness and despair, but is going to have eternal life. Life.
Yes.
Energy.
Yes.
Excitement. Light. Purpose. Right?
Yes. Yes.
And so we have already come to that place in our lives. And it's important that we realize that. And now, but we're not done yet. Right?
Right.
When you and I accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that didn't end. That was not the end of things. That was just the beginning of a walk with God. Right?
Right.
And the message today is one of... I guess the one word that I would use would be willingness. You know, when you love somebody, you're willing to do almost anything for them.
You would do anything,
right?
Amen.
What's that?
You would do. You don't almost do it.
Yeah. You do, don't you? I wanted to qualify it just slightly. You do. When there's a love, when you've recognized the love, you know, we love God because what?
He first
loved us. See, we realize that God did so love the world, and not only the world in general, but you as an individual person, me as an individual, He loves me. He loves you. And that, what was the name of that song? The Power of His Love, right? The power, oh my gosh. The power of His love.
Yes.
And that power of this unconditional love, because you know what? There's nobody in this room or nobody in this world that deserves God's love. We don't deserve to go to heaven. But God's love gives us the power to come into His presence. Isn't that just a fantastic thing?
It's amazing.
And whosoever believes in Him, accepts that, understands that God God's love transcends all this crap that we have to live in this life, and that He has something greater and better for us. And not only is it something that we're waiting for in its ultimate form, but that we can experience the love of God, the power of God, even right now. Do you believe that?
Yes.
And so, The word. Did I tell you the word yet?
No.
I did. Willing. Yeah. To be, you know, when you're willing. Yeah, I did. Willing. Right? You're willing to do anything for somebody that means so much to you. Right? And that's what, getting into prayer and spending some time with the Lord during the day, praying or thanking Him for life, for breath, for a future in the realm of the Spirit on this earth and the kingdom. I mean, there's so many things that we can be appreciative about, right? And that appreciation really does make us more willing to do things.
Yes.
Right?
True.
Mm-hmm. And it really is based in love.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's based, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I've come to see that when I look at my willingness to engage in the things of the Lord and to take the time to pray and to do things, I find that I'm not very, very perfect in my love for God. Not the way He has perfect love for me. And so, what do we do with that? Well, we have to ask God to change that about us. And we don't have to be condemned in where we are at this point, because God points things out so that we can turn and go in the better direction. He's not condemning us, He's pointing us to the better way because of His great love for us, right?
Yes.
So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And it's going to be an interesting little ride we're going to take. And by the end of it, it's not the most comfortable. But you haven't been getting comfortable messages for a little while. And this is, and I love this about you. You want the truth. You want to hear. You want to grow in Christ. And the message here about willingness is, the title of it is, Volunteers in His Service. To be a volunteer. Because to be a volunteer means that you're willing to do something. You don't have to be asked. You step out and you volunteer. There's a willingness in your heart to step into a gap. There's so many examples of that within this church. All different kinds. If I start with one person, I would feel like I'd have to get to everybody because I wouldn't want to leave anybody out.
Yeah.
But I've seen this in terms of Bible studies book studies, private little things that are done for people, investment in Christian school. There's just too much. There's too many things that the people in this church have invested themselves in, have volunteers. You don't, when you volunteer for something, when you're willing to do something, you don't really expect anything back. Now, you have a job, you do expect to get paid. But being a volunteer is not a job, is it?
No.
Volunteering in the things of God is not a job. You get that?
Yeah.
We're volunteers with the Lord. Yeah.
It's a desire to serve. A deep desire to serve.
Yes. That's what it is. And inside every single person's heart that has accepted Christ, you have a desire. I have a desire to serve God. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And there's going to be many different ways that we do end up serving God. And we want to be able to, we're not all going to be preachers. We're not all going to be evangelists. We're not all going to have particular ideas that we think of as, well, I'm serving God right now. You know, we serve God when we turn away from evil. Mm-hmm. We're serving Him. Mm-hmm. Aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. So I am gonna get to the scripture here. But I think how we're going to approach this is going to be really kind of an interesting thing. And words have meanings, and I went to look at meanings, and I went to not only to the concordance for the actual Hebrew or Greek meaning of particular words, but also expositors that I know were godly people that gave their input. So I'm going to give you some of that. You're also going to get some quotations today from people that weren't necessarily Christian, because they were before Christ, but they have some insight into the way we should be thinking. So you're going to get a bunch of that today. And maybe I'm thinking of Alexander the Great's going to be one of the people I'm going to be mentioning. And he was kind of ungodly in a certain way. But maybe it's because I'm teaching an ancient Western Civ course, and that's all flown around in my mind and it popped up. I don't know, but we'll see. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 110. Psalm 110. I am going to be reading out of the New American Standard Bible. So I don't know if Kelly, if you can get that up, that particular version up on the screen. So it's the same thing that I'll be reading, but we'll see what happens. Okay, Psalm 110. Now we're gonna be in verse 3. What's the first verse say? Somebody just read it. Read out
verse 3. You'll be willing.
Read out that verse number 1 before we get to 3.
The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool to your feet.
Alright, so this psalm, it's starting out and it's talking about what? How would you... Huh?
Your enemies.
Yeah, that there's a spiritual battle, right? For us, we're talking about spiritual battle, right? All right, so now let's jump down to 3 and read that. Your people, now this is from the New American Standard. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. In holy array, from the womb of the dawn, your youth are to you as the dew. That's not a particularly easy passage just to understand completely, right? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to go, and that's what made me, I wanted to go back and try to understand this. So, first of all, to volunteer freely, it means to be willing, which is what we're talking about, being people that are willing. Willing people are people that love, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you love somebody, you're willing to do things for them, right? So willing, it's devotion, it's being responsive. Do you like it when you reach out to your mate and you give them a caress on the cheek and they just turn away and walk away from you? That's not being responsive. They're not too willing to show back the love that you have. Now, I don't have that problem. That I don't want anybody thinking that this is from real experience. So, so being responsive, right? So this volunteering, this willingness, there's a responsiveness to God, right? It's not taking God for granted. It's not taking our salvation for granted, right? It isn't a law that we have to to do. It's not a performance kind of thing. If I touch Kathy on the cheek, and if she thinks, well, he touched me on the cheek, I guess I better touch him on the cheek. Right? That's not so great, is it? Because we're talking about the heart matter here. It's our heart matter with God. Because we can get into traps of well, this is what's expected of me. This is how Christians respond. And we want our response to be genuine, don't we? And the more that you get into the Word, and the more experience you have with God, and the more you trust in Him and turn your heart to Him, your love grows for Him. And when your love grows for Him, then there's more of a willingness to trust Him even more. Isn't that right? So, this wasn't in the concordance, but this was something that an expositor of the Word said. Volunteers are people that render themselves as a willing sacrifice. That you'll even go beyond what's comfortable and nice for you. You'll even sacrifice for someone. Won't you? Husbands and wives probably do that a lot for one another. And you do this for your kids. Right? Should we have an attitude inside of us that we would even sacrifice for God? That we would give up some of our precious time to spend with God? That we would do something for somebody else rather than doing something for ourselves? Right? This is pushing beyond just being happy that we're saved. This is a message for us, hopefully, who are mature, to say, there's important things to do, and my Lord and Savior has certain things that He's looking for me, for you, to live out in this life, and I want to do it. Right? I want to be willing to do any of the things that my loving Savior wants me to do. Right? Voluntary obedience is part of this whole thing of willingness. Allowing yourself to be moved upon. That makes us vulnerable. Which was really interesting because yesterday's devotion talked about being vulnerable. If those of you that are doing that. You know, and that is one example of this whole thing of volunteering that I'm talking about. Marie had it on her heart to have a Bible devotion that people could connect with and could become part of and express themselves outside of the context of a Sunday service. Right? She was willing to put herself out there. Because that takes time, doesn't it? That takes some of your time. I'm not trying to focus, but this is a good example of what I'm talking about. I've already mentioned this, but I want to repeat it. There was an expositor that said that the people that are volunteers for God, for the kingdom. These are those of a generous spirit, not looking for something in return. They want to give. Just have it in your heart to give. I bet you every single person in this room has that in your heart. You want to be a giver, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you? Yeah. 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 I was just wondering. And this generous spirit. Now this is a neat word, and it goes with something that Joe kind of touched on when he was inspired, right? Yeah, don't you like it when somebody is inspired? Doesn't that grab a hold of you and give you a greater hope, a greater energy, because that person is filled with the energy of God?
Yeah.
Doesn't that, right? And that's what animation is. To be animated means, well, I don't know, what is the exact definition of animation? What's that? No, not cartoons.
Alive.
Huh? Animated means there's action, there's motion, there's right. That's what it really is at the heart of that. Is this thing about you're engaged and motivated. You're doing things right to be animated. And this generous spirit. We're. I'm trying to get what the Lord's. Saying here in terms of not some mechanical kind of thing that we do, but that this is at the heart of who we are, right? And we get animated when we're moving to give to people. Yeah?
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Yes, I did. Yes.
You get there's an energy. And that energy can be delivered and accepted by other people, and then that inspires them, right?
Yes.
It's an energy that happens. Okay.
An example, I just brought to mind Jen this morning talking about the energy that the parents coming to be with their children energize the children.
Yeah, I thought of that. I thought of that when you were talking.
It's funny that you're saying that, because what was given to me on Saturday morning was about focusing on the energy, the positive energy
yes.
that we're giving to
yes.
these kids. And I think that's also what maybe those faces were responding
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Now that you say that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't mean a new age positive thinking kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. That's a man-made. That's taking something of God and then man fooling around with it and coming up with his own little things that don't ever go anywhere. It never gets to where it needs to go. But when you and I are animated and have that positive energy from the Lord, where we're not thinking about ourselves, we're thinking about giving, we're thinking about just having that willingness to step out there and be vulnerable and to just be able to give whatever God has given, or step into a place where there's a hole in something, and you go, well, nobody's doing that. It's like, you know, Joe says, anybody want to pray for Mal? Crickets.
it's
intimidating. I want to get to this thing, because this is where the enemy keeps us from finding that full expression of our willingness. The willingness is there, but things get in the way. And fear. So I'm way ahead of where I want to be here. Fear is a real big factor, you know, the intimidation. And, you know, wouldn't it be neat? Now, please don't do this next week, all right? But wouldn't it be neat if Reggie or whoever's leading the service says, anybody want to pray for Malcolm? And about seven people stand up. Now tell me, what goes on in everybody's mind? If you see seven people stand up, what's that do to you? Come on, tell me.
Excited to pray for you. Excited to pray for you.
Yeah. Is there a wow. an energy.
Yes.
There is an energy there because people are stepping outside of themselves. They're not thinking about themselves and how do I look and how are people going to react? Those thoughts aren't there.
That's right.
Because we're willing to be vulnerable to step out there. How many of you would like to, if somebody pointed at you and said, oh, would you come up and pray for Malcolm or pray for anybody that's speaking? How many of you would want to be able to do that? Would want to?
Yeah. Yes.
You'd be willing to,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Not everybody put their hands up, so I don't know what that means. But what I want to say is that you see, there us gathering ourselves together, there is an energy, a spirit. I'm talking spiritual. I'm not talking about New Age energy. Chakras and all those other things, but I'm talking about spiritual energy from God. You walk in here and you're a believer. You have the Spirit of God residing in you, don't you?
Amen.
Yes.
There is, therefore, a spiritual energy that comes from God. That you have. You can be of a generous heart and say, I want to give. Now, and that can come in many different ways. It doesn't have to be that you have to come up and pray for whoever's preaching or there's no form to this. What I'm saying is that even if it's just, I'm going to say amen out loud instead of just in my heart. I'm going to step out beyond my boundary because we're all have different boundaries. You know, the scripture in Isaiah talks about expanding the tent pegs of your heart, right? Expanding your tent pegs means that you're going to go a little further than what you're used to, than what's comfortable for you, right?
Yeah.
And so, is that a good thing? Yeah, it is. Yeah. Because now the Lord can use you in another way. You are being obedient to even to the point of a sacrifice in your heart. Right? You understand this?
Yeah. I think this mission trip to Kentucky is putting those states are way up here, man.
That is absolutely correct.
It's just the beginning of what this church is going to do. I just feel it in my heart with our missions work.
And the people that are going on that, all of us couldn't go, right? We all can't go. Well, we could, I guess, but there are people that work and you have responsibilities and everything. All right, but some people are going. So the people that aren't going, what are we going to do?
Pray.
Oh, you know, we can lend ourselves to that ministry by praying.
Making meals for the husband.
Doing things.
He's going. Oh, he is going. Oh, come on.
Right.
No husband. Never mind.
But isn't that right?
Malcolm, you're something that's putting on my heart right now too. Is that God meets us where we're at, and we're all at different points in our journey. We're all at, facing different strongholds and. I just remember, feeling that nervousness to follow the lead of the Spirit, but I've also felt what it feels like when you don't.
Yeah.
So, which is why I'm on that path of obedience.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, even just stepping up and laying hands on you is that baby step, and not necessarily being the one to say the prayer. God walks us through these things and brings us to those comfortable places that the enemy will let you feel like they're not comfortable at first, and he will try to stop you from even stepping forward. But then, little by little, he just walks us to those points. And we've been trying to talk to Evan about this because they're having a driver's meet and greet.
Yeah.
And he is so nervous. These kids talk to him and they look up to him. So God will meet us where we're at in our journeys, walk us baby steps through to get us to that comfortable place. And we just have to battle through those moments where the enemy makes us think that, oh, this, I can't do this in that moment. And the minute you press through that, God needs you. I mean, he's there with you anyways, but he will meet you in that place and help you become more comfortable and walk you through those baby steps. So I encourage you that if it's ever put on your heart, step out in faith and trust him. Yes. So, and just as we're trying to train up our son, who is in the limelight now with his, you know, he's racing and these little kids are looking up to him and he's very intimidated to talk to them. And so we had these hero cards created, that's what they call them. And they're just pictures of him with his car and his name on it. So we said, listen, buddy, start off, just hand it to them. Like, it's something. You're giving them something, and that's the icebreaker, right? We need icebreakers. Yeah. God knows we need those icebreakers, but it's all about that trust, too, and that things will become easier after we take that first step.
There doesn't have to be a big thing. It's whatever step needs to be taken that you have. Okay, so your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. Right? This whole thing of willingness. Willingness to serve. Right? To be willing. Be responsive. To be devoted to. Okay? We're talking God here now. We're not talking about wife and husband. We're talking about God. Alright? That has a corollary in the fact that we're the body of Christ. And so ministering to one another is part of this whole mix, too. I found it very interesting where it says, in the day of your power. The word power is not dunamis like it you find in other places. Of course, this is Old Testament. But that word means to muster. Now, when you army guys or military guys, what's it mean to muster? What's that? You're getting together. If there's a muster, that means you're going to meet out on the parade ground, or you're going to meet at a designated spot. Okay. So, what's this all about? Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your muster. When he calls you together. Wow. So, we have our individual walk with God. Right? You get this? We have individual walk. And some people think that that's all there is. It's just me and God. But that's not really true. No. God doesn't want us to only walk privately with him. He wants us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together.
Yeah.
Ah!
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
He wants us mustard.
Wait.
Or ketchup. No, mustard.
Same with the hot dogs and hot dogs.
But he wants us, he wants, in the day of his muster, I thought, man, that is really interesting, because he doesn't want us forsaking getting together. We are so important to one another. It's, you know that?
Yeah.
Yes.
We are essential.
We all are. Every single person in this room that has been called here today are essential. You get this?
Yep.
Essential. People are, oh, well, you know, Malcolm's the one that's preaching, and then, you know, we have elders and deacons, and, you know, I'm just here to listen and to learn. No, that's not really true. And we, in this church, the leadership of this church, want to see more of other people to get their sea legs in terms of wherever you feel like God is leading you to, that you get some opportunity to move in that. You know, where is it next week? Yeah, next week, Sylvia is going to lead the service. Sylvia is going to lead the service next week. She opened her mouth, and Joe heard her, and Joe said, now this is an, see, the timing is really an interesting thing. So Sylvia made a comment about leading service.
I made a comment to Joe.
Yeah, okay. All right. So Joe ends up saying something to the leadership. And Reggie, right off the bat, boom, he says, yeah, I think that she should do that. And I was getting this message on volunteering. And I'm thinking, oh, that must be God. The timing here is couldn't be any more obvious. So, and I said, yeah, I think that's a good idea. But there is in a number of you, the God has given that ability to lead a service, to be sensitive to the Spirit and to move and to say, okay, we're going to have this now and this is what we're going to do and stop and pray about something. There are other people in this church. And you know what? That is going to bring about an energy that is really going to be important for us.
Yes.
We're not going to know what to expect when Sylvia gets up there next week. We're not going to know what to expect.
All during the service, I've been thinking of this t-shirt my daughter has. It says, faith, not fear. I'm going to go get one of those.
Go get one of those.
On Sunday.
You know, there's other people in here.
Yes.
That I think would do really well. Now, of course, you know, there's Reggie is the guy that leads most of our services, right?
Yeah.
But there's going to be this thing of getting more people. And the same thing is going to happen, and has already started to happen, of other people bringing messages besides me, right? Right?
Yes.
And there's more of a stepping back to let others come in. You know, you lay foundations and then other people get, and that creates an energy. I keep saying that word, an energy that's important for the body of Christ to grow and be energized. Now, you know what else can happen? Fear. Oh my God, what if he calls on me? Oh, I don't want to get up there. You know? I don't think I'll come next week. That kind of thing, you know? Has that ever happened to you? I don't know if I want to go because what if they call on me to do something? What if they ask me to do the communion? I mean, there's all kinds of things where the enemy wants to rob you of expanding your tent pegs.
Yeah.
It's really true.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And we're more and more dedicated to seeing people come up at the right time, in the right way, come up and move in.
Microphone's not working.
No?
I
turned it on.
It just cut out.
No, maybe the batteries.
Well, it's still red. help, John. Talk? Yeah. This is something. I don't know. Can the people in Zoom hear this or not?
No, they can't.
All right, I'll just do this. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. You know, make you kind of wonder, but you know, this is my notes for today. I'm right here. So I think maybe it might be a two-part. Because I'm still right here.
We're only halfway through the first scripture.
I haven't gotten to holy splendor. I haven't gotten to the womb of the dawn. I haven't talked about youth yet. I might end up just stopping with this first script. I don't know. We'll see where the Lord will take this. All right. Oh,
stand up the one over there.
What's that?
Yeah, just use that one.
The other one. Use the stand up the one that's in.
Yeah, but I walk around.
You can't move.
The person there in the whole stand.
You even make Jagger.
All right. So he mustered for battle. All right, because the first verse of Psalm 110 makes it very clear we're talking about battle. To muster isn't just getting on the parade ground and then go to a picnic table and have some lunch. That's not the context of this. The context is there is a war going on, right? We're being mustered.
Yep. You got the right word. It is.
All right. And the very next part of the verse, in holy array. Everybody know what that's about. You know, when you do get mustered or ketchup, when you have a place where you're going to stand. There's a certain formation that when a muster takes place, you don't just run any place. There's usually a spot that is designated for you. Do you know that God has a designated spot for you? This isn't just, oh, thank God that he died on the cross for it, which is very important because that is what you need to be able to do what God wants us to do now.
Right.
That's the very heart that gives us the inspiration to continue to do what God wants us to do now. Otherwise, why is it when once we become saved, why don't we just go up? Because God has something for us to do in this life right now. Isn't that right? Are you guys all with me?
Yes.
Okay. So, in holy array, when you're fighting in a more traditional sense, back in these days, there were lines of soldiers, one in back of the other. They had their spear. The ones in the front had their spears down. The others had their spears over the shoulders of the ones in front of them, and so on and so forth. And you get into the fight, and a person in front of you gets wounded or gets killed and falls down. What happens? Next person up, right? The person in front of you goes down. You now fill the gap. And this is all part of this array. And we're in holy array to fill the gap. Right? You understand this? There's a lot of military language here, but it's really important for us to really understand that this isn't some game we're playing. There is spiritual warfare. There is an enemy, and he is out to destroy you. And what's real easy is if you don't believe he's even there. Or if you think, well, yeah, there's Satan, but he's not out after me.
That's the closest we're going to get.
What's that?
No, just, we don't have what you're reading from. So I'm just flipping through all the ones we have down at the bottom to find the closest we have.
That's good. Oh, no, in Holy Array? Yes?
It's right there.
I'm okay, right?
Yes.
That's the greater
one. Yeah, I'm adding to that. So, you know, we fill the holes in the line, right? This holy array. It's important that we're prepared for that. You know, you have to be trained. Yeah?
Yes.
Are you being trained right now?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. So many things are happening, and really on an accelerated basis in the world today to get our minds right. Isn't that right? You know, we could go for weeks, years ago, you could go for weeks on end, and the news cycle didn't change hardly at all. That doesn't happen anymore. It's hour by hour. And we're bombarded with all kinds of things that we have to deal with. Don't we? And knowing how to do that and doing it right, we need to be prepared, right?
I think the Lord is speaking now more than ever, too.
And so that's the thing.
You know, if you pay attention,
that's right.
He's talking.
Exactly. And for us to be able to realize that, right? Your energy's still up, right?
Yeah.
Keep your energy up. All right. Let's see if I can get through this one verse. Okay. In holy, and it's holy. We're not talking about a carnal way of thinking. We're talking about the holiness of God.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
We're talking about a desire to really be righteous. Not just saying it, but that we're going to be people that are actually going to engage ourselves into allowing God to change the way we think and how we feel and the desires and all the other things that would take us in a different direction. We're not going to go that way. And we're going to fall, and then we're going to get back up again. Aren't we? Right? Right?
Yes.
When you fall, just get back up. Get back up and keep walking. Because the enemy will try to take you out with condemnation. You're not condemned in Christ. Okay. And then it says, from the womb of the dawn. Oh my gosh. You know? From the foundation, before the foundation of the world, right? Before the foundation of the world, God had his plan. Yeah. He had a plan of salvation. He had a plan about his kingdom. Yeah? That kingdom, by the way, was a kingdom that at the beginning was not going to be able to be observed. The kingdom comes without observation, Jesus says. What's going on there? Jesus coming into our hearts and him being the king of our life. He's the king, we're in the kingdom, right? So the gospel of the kingdom is about Jesus truly being Lord over your life. He's already our Savior. He needs to be Lord in a real sense. All right? So that's the kingdom coming without observation because there's an internal thing going on. People are going to end up seeing the results of what can't be seen going on inside you, though. You change. You're not whiny when you used to be whiny. You're not smart aleck talking when that's what you used to do. Right? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Oh, why is everybody looking at Joe?
I've got some bridges over there to look at.
Listen, I try to will not be condemned.
No, there's no condemnation.
We make mistakes and we fall forward.
That's right.
And I fall quite a bit. Work in progress.
Yes.
So this womb of the dawn is really talking about God's eternal plan. That was wasn't that last week?
No.
What was it last week?
About idols.
Oh, idols. Yeah, that comes up later too. But I'm not getting to that today. Okay. So the womb of the dawn. It's a new day. You know, volunteers, people that are willing. Need to realize there's something new that happens every morning. Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're a new person. It's a new day. It's a new day. His mercies are new every morning. Right? Isn't that a good thing? And people that are willing to embrace what's going on in their lives and accept Christ in a deeper kind of way, things are new every morning. It's a wonderful experience, isn't it? And then it says, and youth are to you as the dew. And this was a little harder for me to wrap my head around, but... I just think they bring vigor. Mm-hmm. Youth bring vigor. Mm-hmm. And youth might be an older person that's moving into something new in their life. They're a youth in that regard. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's not really age as much as attitude of heart and the condition of the way things are. So they bring vigor and refreshing and encouragement to the troops. Youth brings an energy, right?
And restoration.
And yeah, and things can get restored. Yeah, you feel really. And I've said this so much in this message. Such a spiritual energy. When don't you like it when somebody else brings a message and you're hearing a different viewpoint, a different angle. It's a different voice. It brings a different kind of energy, which is good for the body of Christ.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Some people are called to do, you know, a lot of the preaching, but every group needs this new input, needs a youthful kind of thing happen to keep the energy up.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be
it's just another Sunday morning. When's this going to get over with?
I bet you some are even thinking that right now.
When I speak to Diane, she always inspires me.
Yeah.
Energizes me.
Yeah. She has an energy that's there.
Action.
Yeah. Because she's open and willing, right? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
She's open and willing to do lots of different things for lots of different people.
Oh, yeah.
So there is an energy there.
Yes, she has a youth despite her age.
That's right.
That's what
and she's youthful in that respect,
yeah.
Isn't she?
Yeah.
Well, let me give you what Alexander the Great said. He said, with the right attitude. Now, you need this to understand the second part. With the right attitude, self-imposed limitations vanish. You don't think of yourself a certain way, but what if God has called you to something? Then you are limiting what God wants to do in you. You get that? Now, if you're not called to move in a particular thing, then you shouldn't be going in that direction. But where God has called, where in prayer you sense something that you're to say something and you need to move in that way, then that's what you should be doing. You get what I'm saying here? So that's important to have that right kind of balance. Because you can get some people that they want to take center stage. Right? Mm-hmm. This isn't many people in this room that want to be the center of attention. But you know what? It's to you that I want to say, don't let your own self-limitation limit you from doing what God wants you to do. Okay? And that can just be speaking up and sharing something in a service when we're gathered together, when we're mustered together. Right?
Amen.
Because we need each other. We need what's happened in one another's life to encourage us and whatever. Right? Wow, I didn't get through hardly anything what I thought I was going to. You know, this morning, I thought, yeah, it looks like it might be a lot, but most of this is the scripture written out because, you know, how my Bible is. I even brought a different Bible in case I wanted to go to a different scripture. But I thought, so there's not a lot of notes. It's mostly scripture here. But so I had this, and I thought, I'm gonna have this done in 20 minutes. Right? So what did I get? I got halfway down the front page. So next week.
3 more weeks.
3 more weeks. No. Next week. Next week I'll finish this message off. And it'll be to be a volunteer, to be willing because of the love of God, to serve, to be dedicated into His service. Okay. Yeah.
I just have a quick.
Yes.
So I found this meme this week, and it's funny because the tagline I put with it is attitude is everything.
Yeah.
And it says, change the things you have to do into the things you get to do.
Yeah.
So as a Christian, like you keep saying, it's not like you don't have to do it. It's like what a gift it is to be able to do it. And then, you know, it's all about the act.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just see if there's anything that I feel I should. Yeah. Let me tell you what the scriptures are, and then we're going to close. All right. So next week we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3-5. We're also going to be looking at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 10, 17. And then the really uncomfortable one. I say for less. Luke 14, verses 27-35. All right. So those are going to round out this message about being volunteers in His service. So I guess that'll.
Can I hand us some prayer?
Sure. Okay. That'd be fine. See, I volunteer. She's willing to get up here and
amen.
It's good.